listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. You can catch up with news, projects, interviews, and much more at architectureanddesign.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our newsletters and magazine.
And today we have with us Laura Canardi-Duncan. Laura Canardi-Duncan is the operations manager at the Hire and Rental Association of Australia, I believe. And today we're going to talk about, as you do on a Monday morning, all things to do with women. And so welcome to Talking Architecture and Design, Laura Canardi-Duncan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay, so you recently rhetorically asked, and this is, I believe it was in a press release, why the construction industry needs more women. Okay, so Laura, tell me, why do you think the construction industry needs more women?
Yeah, well, don't just take my word for it. I think it's a target at the moment, you know, with the government having legislation and recognising equality and, you know, in the workplace. Construction has been identified as a key area where we could do better, let's say, and there's some targets out there. I'm based in New South Wales, but do represent all of Australia. And the New South Wales government has actually given themselves a target of 15%, which doesn't seem that much, but by 2030, to attract women into trades, non-traditional construction roles. The hire and rental industry very much feeds into and is part of construction, mining, infrastructure. So yeah, why? I think because we need workers. Is probably a key driver from a lot of businesses, and they recognise that women are probably untapped workforce. And I think the world is changing. Legislation is forcing that as well, to recognise that there should be a place in every business and every role, and women are beginning to prove themselves that they can do lots of roles traditionally only done by males.
Okay, on that point, how many members do you have, and what kind of industries do you actually cover? Because I mean, you do cover mining, obviously.
So we actually, three national associations all run out of one office. So there's the Hire and Rental Industry, Elevated Work Platforms Association, and Telescopic Handlers. So that covers a $9 billion industry. So we will have everything from Kennards Hire, Coates, you know, all the big players, and DIYers as well that go in. But a lot of our big machines are rented into government construction, mining. So that's how we feed into there. So there's 500 members. Now, that's companies, though. So thousands and thousands of people and employees. But 500 members. But it is, like I say, it's quoting around about $9 billion industry.
I'm assuming you're getting some feedback also from women. Is there a particular area of construction or building or wherever that women are wanting to go, or is it across the board?
Yeah, for us, so this program we've got, which is women and hire development program, is in its sixth year, and I think, like a lot of other companies with these targets the government are putting out, some of the bigger companies like Coates have 25% targets of women to be in leadership by 2025. We're beginning to see, well, how do you attract women to these industries? Well, you have to nurture them in development programs and show them the potential and show these roles all across the business, technical roles to leadership. So yeah, this is what we're doing. We're nurturing women and showing them that they can work in any area of the business. Traditionally, it would be, you might have females who are reception, HR, marketing, but now it's really nice to see, what I'm seeing is actually women moving, thinking they have a job, coming into the development program and then saying, I have a career, and showing them a pathway, then being promoted maybe into assistant branch manager roles. That takes them into leadership. Once they have leadership experience, they can move on. But what I am hearing actually is we do a lot of people who are either manufacturers, OEMs and suppliers, and the green space tends to be leading the way with women. So generators, electric, there's a lot more representation there. And in the bigger companies, there's more representation probably than your smaller businesses, because they're putting strategy behind it. You know, we want to attract women into the workforce and show them. But I think like men, we can all progress if you're given the right support and training. You know, I think a lot of us have the potential, and it doesn't need to be limited to your gender.
Okay, true. So how has the industry reacted to this issue?
Really, really positively. It is wonderful. We do a male-dominated environment. I can't take much credit. I've been here 18 months, and this initiative already existed with a predominantly male board backing and supporting and putting resources behind this program. We've had male mentors on the program for 6 years. We've got more and more women mentors maintaining our, you know, but we still do have involvement and there's support unanimously. And there seems to be a willingness to stamp out potentially some behaviours in the past that wouldn't have been as welcoming to women. There's a lot of support. I've seen a lot more support than I thought. It surprised me actually.
Do you think there are some roles within the construction sector, let's say, or other sectors, but let's keep it construction, where women cannot work? Are there some areas where, or they don't want to work, or is there some areas where the same applies for men?
Yeah, I think that's where the barrier is. For myself, or maybe a more progressive thinker, no, I don't think there's any roles that women cannot do. You know, and some may argue it might be more challenging, but there's a lot of women, you know, out there that are willing to challenge the stereotype. I actually come from a background of working in NDIS, so I've seen people with disabilities. Technology is there. We can adapt. We can find ways of women doing roles, you know, and if it's just about a very physical role, there's also technology, automation. Like you just have to look at the mining now with women driving these huge big machines, and there are some physicalities of some roles, but that's, I don't think that's stereotypically male or female. You might have a small male and a larger, more muscular female these days, you know. I really don't think there should be any limitations. I don't think we should limit our thought process. You know, I don't think we should put any limitations there. These industries are all about innovation at the end of the day, and we should come up with innovative ideas so that there are no barriers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting you said, technology innovation.
Mm.
So let's talk diversity of the workforce, of your workforce rather. Let's say in 10 years' time, and with, you know, advances in automation and advances in technology and, you know, in all sorts of areas, how do you think the sector will look like in a decade's time? And how much do you think that automation/technology will help with the changing of the gender makeup?
Yeah, no, I would like to think, it might take more than 10 years, but I would like to think in 10 years, all of this work being done now across multiple big businesses and government, we will look very different. You know, the targets were set 5 years ago to have more women. So let's see, we're really on our way with some of these bigger companies. And I think when the bigger companies show others how it's done, they will follow suit. So I would like to think it very different. You know, the face of construction or hire or any of these industries will change. And I think automation will help slightly. I think it's attitude more than anything, to be honest. Like the automation of things, a lot of these machines, you don't have to be, you know, a large person or strong to be able to drive these machines. It's nothing to do with that. It's actually behind the scenes in business, the leaders, strategic, around the boardroom, the fact that diverse people bring diverse thinking. They start to think outside the box and innovation. And I think that's actually where it comes from, is going to be a change of mindset. Technology is going to play a part, but I've already seen, you know, AI, people using AI and different things. I actually think that'll take some of the creativity. We don't all want to sound the same. And sound like, you know, let's get a chat GPT to write all of our, and we'll have co-pilot. And I actually think we need to keep that diversity of thought, innovation, different ideas, challenging one another. And the more diverse that a business looks or a boardroom looks, I think will lead to a really exciting future.
I read this morning that more and more people, in particular women, are opting out of university careers and wanting to go and do stuff with their hands, you know, whether it be farming, whether it be you know, civil engineering, or in one case, becoming a stonemason. There you go. Do you think that on top of the automation thing, do you think also that maybe changing, I guess, expectations or outlooks for careers, and maybe a move more to careers that where you do work with your hands, helps organizations or at least your members, such as those of the HRIA?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the world is changing, and we've gone through an evolution of, we sit in offices, we look at screens, we sit behind a desk, you know, and it's a 40-hour day, and then COVID comes along and it becomes a 60-hour week, because there's no gap between, you know, your phone and technology and home. And I think things come full circle, and people start to COVID was a time for reassessing, I think, for people. And I think some people have thought, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sit behind, you know, what are my options? And perhaps female traditional options where retail, office, well, caring, you know, nursing, that kind of thing. And now we're all thinking outside the box. And I think it is society showing examples of other people, what other people have done. There are different ways to live outside the norm. I think it's fantastic. I think the investment on women in STEM programs in schools as well is feeding into that. You know, I have a niece who's incredibly technical, and she's into her STEM subjects, and it's lovely seeing the investment in women engineering and different things. We've got a long way to go. I mean, 15% was what they quoted. I don't think that's a lot. And that's by 20. So it will take time, but I think there's a momentum that's building.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these wonderful networks out there of women in business supporting one another, you know, and saying you can do it. And, you know, and when times get tough and the challenges that we have, to support one another. So it's really good to see.
Laura Kanati Duncan, Operations Manager of the Hire and Rental Industry Association. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Talking Architecture and Design. Until next time, bye.
Thanks for listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. You can catch up with news, projects, interviews, and much more at architectureanddesign.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our newsletters and magazine.